Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kira Mack, as always, and delighted you've been able to tune in with us yet again today for the show. Now, before we do get into the show, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share if you do get a chance. If you fancy listening to us on a podcast player, there's a link down below in the description, which will take you to a website where you can find all the available podcast players that the show is listed on. And finally, if you get some value from the show, you like the show, and you'd like to support the show, you can always buy us an old coffee with the link down below in the description as well. So now that that's all said and done, let's jump into the top five stories doing the rounds today in Thailand. Now, the police promise a straightforward investigation into the death of a Thai internet idol. Bangkok police have assured the public that they will investigate the shooting death of a well-known Thai internet idol and her boyfriend in a straightforward and fair manner without outside interference. The woman, 20-year-old Supachia, aka Gigi, and her boyfriend, a second-year army cadet at the Armed Forces Academic School, identified only as Pumipat, were found dead yesterday in the former's condominium in the Asok Phetchaburi area of Bangkok. They had apparently been shot in the head, and two spent shells were found in the room. Now, Police Major General Attaporn, commander of the 1st Division of the Metropolitan Police Bureau, said today that he is waiting for an autopsy and forensic reports, particularly regarding the gunpowder residue. Police are yet to announce who else they suspect were involved in the shootings. Supachia's mother, Chuttikan, told the media that the shooting might stem from a quarrel between Pumipat and her daughter, adding that she had warned her daughter about her boyfriend's behavior and his love of guns. Several images were posted on social media yesterday showing Pumipat practicing shooting at a range, carrying an automatic rifle and several other weapons. She said that Pumipat's family had offered an apology to her family. Gigi's family went to Ramathibodi Hospital today to move her remains to a temple in Nakhon Pathom province for funeral rites. Her father, Kiratai, said that he would like the police to take legal action against Pumipat's father, who is an army general, because the handgun found in the condominium room allegedly belongs to the general. He also said that, about 2 months ago, Gigi told her sister that she had moved to the condominium in Asok Phetchaburi area because she had been assaulted by Pumipat. So yes, this story has been doing the rounds now in Thailand. A very young girl, I think, she was just 20 years of age. Looks like definitely a murder here. Exactly what went on is a whole other story. But it's so strange that the police have to come out and say that it'll be done in a straightforward and fair manner without outside interference. But surely it should be like that all the time, right? I mean, you shouldn't have to announce that you're going to do it. I mean, because you're the police. It would be expected of you. But because things have become so corrupt here in Thailand, the father is a general in the army, everybody's pretty much thinking that there'll be something covered up along the way to ensure that whatever happened is definitely not found out by the public. And that's generally how a lot of things go. Of course, also the media are responsible for a bit of this too, because they never follow up on any of these stories. Nevertheless, let's jump on into the next story. And tourism fears after Knock Air stops flights. Local tourism authorities are developing plans to assist the province's tourism sector after Knock Air stopped its direct flights there to Mae Hong Son due to business losses. Knock Air's direct commercial flights to Mae Hong Son ended on Wednesday. The senior president of Mae Hong Son Chamber of Commerce said the axing of Knock Air's flights would do more harm than good to the province. Mr. Shanaket said the chamber is working with the Tourism Authority of Thailand to address problems caused by the flight terminations and will hold talks with Bangkok Airways to fly to the province. She said not having an air service will affect the province's tourism and its development, as well as the country's overall economic growth. Now tourists can only reach the province via three rural roads from Chiang Mai, she said. Acting Lieutenant Panawat Kadek, director of Tat Mae Hong Son office, said a visit to the province by road requires a 6-hour drive from Chiang Mai instead of a 50-minute flight from Chiang Mai or about 2-hour flight from Bangkok. However, there are some advantages to travelling via road, according to Panaduk Chasakul, president of the Mae Hong Son Tourism Business Association. It lets tourists appreciate the province's scenery. He also said increased road travel is an opportunity to spread income to local communities, as most visitors enter the province in the high season from November to February, with 70% heading just to Pai District. Knock Air also decided on Thursday to end all flights nationwide using 50-seat De Havilland Canada -8 Q400 aircraft and return them to the vendor. The carrier was financially hit due to its use of the Q400 over 8 years, according to a Knock Air statement. The cost of the Q400 maintenance and their limited competitiveness against larger models such as the Boeing 737 made them not financially viable for the carrier. Nothing really new here. I think it was inevitable it's going to happen, and I can't see why Bangkok Airways will suddenly start flying there if Knock Air haven't been able to make even break even, let alone, you know, make a profit. So, I mean, sometimes some flight routes just don't make sense and they're not profitable. They tried the same thing to an airport down south, about Bitong, I think it was. Anyway, basically, this airline, they tried to fly there. They got there a couple of months, and the airline pulled out and said there's no money to be made on it. And that was it. So there is a lot of provincial airports that have opened up around Thailand that have no real reason to be open because they're just not going to have the flight capacity and the passenger numbers, you know, to be sustainable. But nevertheless, we will move on yet again. And we're back to the tourism fee, and it's going to take effect in September. 100%. The Tourism and Sports Minister has confirmed that the collection of the 300 baht tourism fee will not be delayed beyond September, while the ministry plans to ask provincial police to support the tourism police in its operations to clear out $0 tours and illegal tours. Tourism and Sports Minister Piyapat Ratchaphakaran said the fee will not be cancelled, although the collection method of adding it to airfares was criticised by airlines as selective, claiming it violated the International Air Transport Association's Chicago Convention that prioritises equality. He said the ministry is considering outsourcing to give external organizations responsibility for fee collection for all three methods of entry, air, land and sea, through online applications, websites or kiosks. Foreign arrivals by air are charged 300 baht, while travelers via land and sea must pay 150. A tourism fund is expected to be established by using 60 to 70% of the fees, helping to develop tourism destinations and new infrastructure such as universal design for public services to create more accessibility, bathrooms and skywalks, said Mr. Piyapat. As concerns over $0 tours mount, he said the ministry will seek support from provincial police, which have more than 200,000 officers nationwide, to help 2,000 tourist police officers crack down on these illegal businesses. Tourism operators are also worried about an influx of foreign tour guides, particularly the result of a labour shortage in Thailand. Mr. Piyapat insisted the number of Thai tour guides was sufficient at the moment. The tourism department is working on a training programme and is extending licences for existing tour guides, he noted. Mr. Piyapat said he discussed the problem of illegal tours with China's Ministry of Culture and Tourism in February to collaborate on ensuring tourism safety, quality tour services and meaningful tourist experiences. He said the spread of new COVID-19 variants will not affect the target of 25 million visitors this year, as the country is prepared in terms of vaccines and medicine for Thais and foreign tourists. Mr. Piyapat said the ministry still hopes to welcome 80 million foreign tourists to Thailand in 2027, generating 25% of GDP. He said a key selling point will be the reputation of natural attractions such as Koh Kradan in Trang Province, which is named the best beach in the world this year by the website World Beach Guide. Four other Thai beaches were ranked among the top 100. Mr. Piyapat said these destinations must adopt capacity controls and put stringent measures on waste and water management to preserve natural resources. Koh Kradan has recorded both overnight and day tourists totaling 300 per day, with 2,000 visitors per day during the recent Songkran holiday, according to authorities. Now again, back to the tourist fee. So now they're looking at outsourcing it. So they won't be getting 300 baht anymore. It'll be maybe 250 because the outsourcing companies aren't going to work for free. So the money now has dwindled down. So this has become a business for somebody else to make money out of. And I wonder, will this be put out to tender? I wonder, will this be a transparent process in choosing the operators of these kiosks and online websites and whatnot? Or will it just be something that appears one day and nobody knew who this company was, and we find out a year from now that it was related to a minister here, there, or everywhere, because that's how things roll here in Thailand. Again, I don't understand the inability just to tax everybody the same coming into the country and leave it at that. Because the airlines will do that part. They most definitely will do that part. But it seems like they don't want to go down that route. They just want to tax the foreign tourists. Okay, I can understand where you're coming from. But now the money is going to be not 300 baht anymore. You're not going to get it in 60 to 70%. You're going to be losing a percentage of that to the online vendor or the online kiosk or whatever it may be. Again, when they also talk about these zero baht tours, they're actually referring to Chinese tours, because this is where the problem has always been. And talking, there's not enough tour guides here in Thailand, etc. I think when they really talk about that, they're talking about tour guides who can speak the language of the tourists. So exactly, Chinese tourists coming here. Do we have enough Chinese-speaking Thai tour guides in Thailand? Russian-speaking Thai tour guides here in Thailand? And that's basically what they're talking about when they're talking about not enough. Now, how do they overcome that? Because people might think to yourself, well, they can't have that many people, you know, going around speaking all these foreign languages. So let me let you know how it works. So generally what you do is, or what they do is, if you have a bus and you have a tour, maybe you have 20, 30 people on one of these tours and you're going from hotel to hotel, you do have Chinese people who are the tour guides on the buses. And they normally employ one or two Thai guides to be there acting as the Thai guide, acting as the legitimate guide. But the actual fact of the matter is, it's the Chinese tour guide from China who is doing all the leading. And that's how they get around this. And it's been going like this for many, many years. I've seen an operation straight up front. You know, you'll have that one Thai person there and everybody else is Chinese. And they really, you know, they're Chinese, maybe decent, but not fluent. And you wonder to yourself, how are they getting around this? And you realize that, well, they're just there to cover up the fact that there is an illegal Chinese guide or Korean guide or Russian guide or whatever it may be amongst them all. And yeah, that's how it is. I mean, I think Thailand at some point are going to have to start to focus or stop focusing on this idea that everybody has to be Thai to do every job. Because sometimes there is certain jobs that Thais just can't do. And sometimes languages are not everyone's ability. So if you don't have enough tour guides in the country who are your own nationality, then there has to come a point, maybe you have to start to look outside and say, well, we have to start employing tour guides from outside of Thailand. It's still a very closed country when it comes to what people, foreigners, can work at here in the country and what they can do. And I think it's a little over the top at times. Of course, there's ways around a lot of this too, especially when it comes to jobs, and it kind of getting off the point a bit. But it is on how your work permit description is written. And once the Labour Office accept that your title is this and this is your description and they accept it, well, then you can actually work in that job doing exactly what your work permit description says because the Labour Office have approved it. But anyway, that's for another day. And we might talk about that in a few weeks on another show. But we'll move on because hotels, they're looking for cuts in power charges. Now, the local people, that the regular folk, you know, who are living in houses, their bills are all going up 10, 20%. But the hotels, they need the discount. Now, they're making big money at the moment. They've been full since pretty much November. They're making big money, but they do. They need it. Hotel operators are calling for a reduction of the fuel tariff and peak hour rate to help keep operating costs down amid sluggish tourism spending. Before I continue, it's always interesting some of these headlines that come out from the Tourism Authority and the Thai Hotels Association. They're always on about sluggish spending and then the TAT are coming out at the end of the month telling us how much money's been spent in the country. And they never quite balance like you think. Though the government is set to introduce a single electricity rate of 4.77 baht per kilowatt hour from May, which is a cheaper rate for businesses, hotels cannot immediately pass on the burden of rising energy costs to room rates. Udam Simakato, vice president of the Western chapter of the Environment, chairman of the Thai Hotels Association. Hotels may seem as though they've recovered from the COVID-19 pandemic, but we're in the early stage of revival and still need more time to adjust the costs, he said. According to the THA, electricity bills typically accounted for less than 5% of operating expenses each year before 2020, but now have increased to 10 to 12%, especially during the hot season. Mr. Udam said the hot weather prompts increased use of electrical appliances, while hotel guests also tend to spend more time in their room. He said that even though hotels have adjusted their internal operations to save energy, such as shifting laundry and maintenance jobs to nighttime to reduce costs, these measures do not reduce electricity bills by much. Even though the Energy Regulator Commission is set to discuss a further reduction of the rate on Friday, which could cut the rate from 4.77 to 4.70 baht per unit, Mr. Udon said the rate remains high, particularly when room rates remain intensively competitive. He urged the government to maintain an average rate of 3.50 to 4 baht per unit, as occurred prior to the pandemic. Authorities should also consider reducing the peak time rate for electricity fees calculated from time to use tariff because most consumption at hotels occur during the day, said Mr. Udon. He said the government should offer stronger measures to promote green finance by subsidizing loans or providing low interest rates for hotels that install energy-saving appliances, solar cells, or cooling systems. Mr. Udon said More hotels are interested in using environmentally friendly products, but it is almost impossible in terms of cost efficiency, especially for smaller and independent hotels, because of the high cost products. So again, looking for a little bit of a handout, cheaper rates or cheaper electricity rates. But if before the pandemic, the cost of, let's say, electricity bills was about 5% of the operating cost, and they're now saying it's about 10 to 12%. At the end of the day, if you do want to fix that cost, then charge your guests a little bit more. That's how I kind of see it. This continuously asking the government to subsidize the hotel industry. We've had the We Travel Together travel subsidy program, right? Which was a boom for hotels. And we've had five phases of that. They've had basically during COVID interest-free loans. Now they're looking for now reduced electricity. But within all of this, they're a business. And a hotel is a business. And if a hotel cannot survive, then in my opinion, it probably should go bust, right? They act like hotels have a God-given right to be open and a God-given right to trade. I mean, if you can't figure out how to make your business successful and you can't figure out how to keep your hotel open, then should you still be open? I think more focus needs to be on the working man in the country and the working woman and families and people like that whose bills are gone up and up and up over the last couple of months. And now, of course, we're in a very hot part of the year and people have more electric on, using more different appliances throughout the house to cool themselves down, and bills are going up. I've been reading and hearing from people whose bills have skyrocketed over the last couple of months, afraid to open the mailbox to see the bill after the electricity man has passed by and printed it out. So people are scared and they're worried about these things because they're extra costs. But hotels at the end of the day are a business, and if their electricity costs have risen to 10%, then forget about the idea that, oh, we're in a very competitive market at the moment. Then you need to increase your costs by 5% or 10%. And really, it's not a huge amount of money when you're talking about room rates, right? So if you're talking about 1,000 baht and you increase from 5 to 10%, you're increasing it from about 50 baht. Not a huge amount of money. So increase your room rate. Stop asking for handouts all the time. And let the government focus on the people of the country who are in desperate need of help and a reduction in the rate, not just the hotel. And finally, not Thai related, but an interesting enough story. BuzzFeed to close news operations. BuzzFeed announced Thursday that it will be shutting down its news division as part of layoffs, signaling the end of one of the most notable news websites of the internet era. The company cited challenges, including recession in the tech sector and a struggling stock market, with CEO Jonah Peretti admitting he was partly at fault for the closures. "We are reducing our workforce by approximately 15% today and beginning the process of closing BuzzFeed News," Peretti wrote in a memo to staff. The announcement is the latest to rock the US media landscape as outlets battle with falling reader numbers and lower advertising revenue. Shares in BuzzFeed, known for its viral content and journalism, plunged more than 20% on Wall Street following the news. Peretti said the company had come to the conclusion that it can no longer continue to fund BuzzFeed News as a standalone organization. He added that it would now concentrate its news output on its HuffPost website. Peretti also cited the coronavirus pandemic, less capital, a decelerating digital advertising market, and ongoing audience and platform shifts. "Dealing with all these obstacles at once is part of why we've needed to make the difficult decision to eliminate more jobs and reduce spending," he said. Peretti conceded that he could have reacted differently to the challenges. "I could have managed these changes better as the CEO of this company, and our leadership team could have performed better despite these circumstances," he wrote. Peretti admitted that he had decided to overinvest in BuzzFeed News because I love their work and mission so much. "This has made me slow to accept that the big platforms wouldn't provide the distribution or financial support required to support premium, free journalism purpose-built for social media," he wrote. BuzzFeed, created in 2006, first became known for its lists and topical quizzes. And that's it in terms of the news today. Once again, thank you for tuning in. As always, I love your support. And don't forget, any story that interests you, I'd love to know what you like about the story. I'd love to know your comments, your opinions, as always, down below in that comment section. And that's it, folks. Again, thanks for tuning in. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you in the next couple of days. Take care. But ultimately, with this story or anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments down below. Because yes, this is a news show, but it's also a conversation. Now keep that conversation going. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, share the video, and do all the good stuff that does help that YouTube algorithm. But ultimately, my name is Kieran Mack. You've been listening to the Thai Expat Daily Show, and we will see you next time.